Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from MPAC on the campus of RPI in Troy, New York. I'm Joe Donahue.
I'm the late Alan Chartok. We are here at this amazing facility to pay tribute to the Albany Symphony Orchestra and celebrate new music with their American Music Festival, taking place here Friday through Sunday.
Indeed, besides our on-air duo, our producer Sarah LaDuke is here, as is tech guru Adam Claremont. He's responsible for getting and keeping us on the air. Roundtable engineer Dave Hopper is back at the studio telling us what needs to be done. We're tweeting pictures at twitter.com/WAMC Roundtable. In fact, Sarah's doing that right now. And posting them to the WAMC Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And now it's time to meet our host.
David Allen Miller has established a reputation as one of the leading American conductors of his generation as music director of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, a position he has held since 1992. He has proven himself a creative and compelling orchestra builder.
Through exploration of unusual repertoire, educational programming, community outreach, and recording initiatives, he has reaffirmed the ASO's reputation as the nation's leading champion of American symphonic music and one of the most innovative orchestras in this country. We welcome our dear friend, one of my favorite humans, David Allen Miller, to the Roundtable.
Hello, you beautiful men.
Thank you.
So happy to see you.
It is wonderful to have you here.
I didn't think I was the host. I thought you were the host.
Well, you're hosting
we're
us.
We're hosting you because yes. We're here at this festival. Yes.
This is the fourth year of this festival.
It's about the 12th year of this festival, but it's probably the fourth year of the festival
here at MPAC. Right. So why did you want to explore American new music and put it into this context of making it a festival?
Very good question, Joe.
Thank you.
Very learned question. Well, we've always wanted to explore American music.
David saw me in the hall when he came in. He said, the first thing you ask me is
get that. Don't ask that question. Of all the questions. No, we've always cared deeply about American music. And as you mentioned in that little beautiful introduction, we're an orchestra that has been all about championing our American repertoire as well as the great works of the distant past. And so that's always been part of our DNA. But I guess many years ago, it occurred to me that it'd be really fun to have a festival where we sort of, kind of go overboard with it all and just do wall-to-wall American music. And so we actually put it initially in March because March was kind of a quiet month.
Right.
And so we had all these events in March. And then we decided when MPAC opened that this just was the perfect venue for it. And also that since this is so much of who we are, that we should make it kind of the culminating event of every season. So this is our last big thing of the year, our closing event of the season. And so it's this big subscription concert as well as the Dogs of Desire, our new music program. And the festival actually starts Thursday night because we have a reading session of new works by young American composers.
So sorry, I got that wrong.
No worry, Dr. Chartok. So it's like 3 days of wall-to-wall, beautiful, interesting, new, and unusual music.
It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
It is, in fact.
Thursday night is the reading.
Thursday night is our kickoff event. Yeah.
Friday night is Dogs of Desire, and then followed by a concert that night, sort of a late concert.
It's kind of a rave, I suppose you'd call it. I don't really know what a rave is, being an old guy, but we're kind of doing a club thing down at the Arts Center afterwards.
And they're going to be with us later on, so that's exciting. And then on Saturday is the big concert.
Saturday's the big concert, and Saturday morning there's another event in the morning, actually, the MPAC, not the MPAC, this is MPAC, the SCO, the Empire State Youth Orchestra Percussion Ensemble, is playing a fantastic program at 11 in the morning of music by Chris Rouse, who's kind of our featured composer and the big daddy of the whole idea this year. In fact, many of the other composers on the festival have been students of Chris's, so this is works by Chris Rouse for Percussion Ensemble, but also four world premieres of new works by four of Chris's current students at Juilliard, written expressly for the Empire State Youth Orchestra Percussion Ensemble for this concert.
I just want people to note that you can find out more information about the festival by going to albanysymphony.com, and if you go there, you can find out the entire schedule about all the stuff that we talk about. So if you're busy finding paper,
don't write it down.
Just listen to us, and then later on, you can go to the website and get all the information that you need.
Here's an ignorant question,
please.
As usual, my question is: how does a percussion ensemble make full music?
Well, you'd have to see it to believe it, actually. It's because percussion's made up of what I guess they refer to generally as unpitched instruments, drumming type instruments, and pitched instruments like marimbas and xylophones and glockenspiels.
But they can make notes.
They can totally make notes. And actually, a lot of the not so pitched instruments can also make notes. So you actually can get a whole percussion orchestra going. It's an amazing thing. And what's great about it is visually, it's fantastic because you have all these instruments splayed across the stage and all these fabulous high school aged percussionists playing them and really exciting music. In fact, Chris Rouse, our featured composer, is our sort of big daddy composer, is famous for his percussion pieces. He's written this great piece called Ogun Badagris, all about voodoo rituals, and that's on the program as well as these other new pieces.
How much do you know about the new, like, how new is new?
Well, in the case of new, I would say...
And by the way, I just want to set the scene for... We have some photos that are up, and you'll see David with just...
Stacks.
Like 9,000 pages of paper in front of him, which are all of his the scores, right?
Right. This is all the music that we're doing this weekend. I just wanted to show it to you, Joe, for the sheer volume of it, because it's just so fantastic.
Showing off
a little bit.
But
I would say probably half of the music on the festival is brand new out of the box, and the other half is, I would say from the last, I think the oldest piece on the program is maybe 20 years old, but most of it's like 5 to 10 years old.
So with new comes... How much of it is when you get the orchestra together and you're reading it, are you discovering it? Are you learning it? Are you tweaking it? Because in most cases, from my understanding, at least I hope they're here because they're supposed to be on our show, but you have composers here. So
Absolutely.
The composers are on hand to say, maybe you can move that.
We're awash in composers. And what's so exciting is that for the audience, even especially starting Thursday night, because Thursday night we do these readings of three new works by young, just emerging composers. There are three people, I guess, in their 20s who are
when
just...
When we say reading, what do you mean by
reading?
Well,
that's different from a performance in, the,
right.
in that it's a whole thing, Thursday night, a 2.5-hour event. But we're basically taking 40 minutes on each piece, and these are three pieces between about 6 and 12 minutes in length each.
Sure.
And we start at the beginning of each 40 minutes, and we read down the piece, and we work it, and then we read it again as if we were performing it. The idea being that the young composer who's on hand gets to really hear his or her piece take shape and take life, become to life.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience, and we hope a lot of people come on down because this is really fun, gets to hear this happen in this magical, incredibly compressed period of time. So it's not actually a performance, it's a reading session in that we're workshopping these pieces.
So is it a little like going to Tanglewood in here or SPAC and hearing the rehearsal?
It's a little bit like that, or it's a little like a theatrical reading if you go to see a new play.
Yeah,
being
a staged reading.
A stage reading, right. It's like a stage reading. But what's great about it is that at the end, we invite the whole audience up with our mentor composers and the three composers pieces we've played, and we all sit on the stage and we kind of critique the piece for the young composer. And we love it when the audience involves themselves because they always have the most interesting observations.
Oh, and I bet the composers love that too.
No, they do. They really do.
They don't.
Because the audience perspective
it's
is
like going to your own funeral.
And it's like your audience, the WAMC audience, our audience is so erudite and they have such great insight. So that's Thursday night at 7:30.
But do you occasionally get one who may be a little off the reservation?
off the reservation.
And then we take them out.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I guess I've met one of the three composers that we're reading, but I don't really know them.
No, I don't mean
an audience member who is sort of...
Oh, no, no.
You get a mashuga.
So far, they've always been beautiful. I'm sure we don't get any mashugas in our... It's like your audience. You don't have any mashugas.
Oh, no.
No mashugas.
It's check or email, David.
So it's... So the reading is really a fun thing.
I love it. Could you call it you call it composer to center stage reading session? And I remember last year when we were here 2 days later in the process where we were actually here while you were doing it.
Yep.
And we were talking to composers both before the process and after the process, and it was fascinating.
Oh, it's really exciting
because,
for them.
They would go out and they and they're hearing it from an orchestra for the first time, which is like really wild. And then the comments come, and you learn a lot in the process.
Yeah,
but as an audience member, to see that part of the artistic process, I think is invaluable.
Part is seeing it suddenly come to take shape. So, Alan, you'd asked that question about the preparation, and
yeah.
The idea is that if I've studied, if I've studied correctly, and
sure.
if the musicians have all prepared correctly, we all know our parts. I know what the thing should.
So you
sound
could go
like.
Right through, for example, without
we,
stopping.
We actually do go right through. Usually, that's one of my approaches.
See.
And then we go break it apart and polish and fix. And if they're real challenging passages, we work them, and then we bring it to focus. So, for example, for the Dogs of Desire concert, the Friday night concert, we have four rehearsals. For the subscription concert Saturday night, we have four rehearsals. But the reading session is something different. We just do it. It's like playing time chess. Like we have 40 minutes to get the piece done, and it's done. So that's kind of a different sport entirely.
Are you known as a temperamental conductor?
Oh no,
does he seem temperamental?
Gentle, and I love my musicians. And unlike many conductors, I'm aware of who makes the actual sound.
Yeah,
some conductors I think forget that we actually don't make the sound. It's the musicians who are actually doing all the actual work.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. But I've known you for 21 years.
Oh,
you've been here for 21 years.
Almost.
I've never heard like a bad thing said about
no.
you.
No, really?
Is it true?
That's true.
Like so many people. You hear bad things about
But I think it's bad.
Well, I could give you a list of my enemies.
I've never heard a bad thing said about you.
I think it's bad that nobody says
it's
anything
terrible.
Bad about
it. It's terrible.
Oh, you think that?
Yes.
Just wait until the emails are going to get now. See, all, right. All the people who hate
me
are
going to email come
you.
Out.
Reminds me a little of myself.
Yes, of course.
Nobody ever says anything bad.
We're going to, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back. It's the theme for this morning. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about other components of this wonderful festival, broadcasting live from MPAC. And we're celebrating the American Music Festival from the Albany Symphony Orchestra. Maestro David Alan Miller is our guest. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from MPAC on the campus of RPI in Troy, New York. We are here to celebrate the Albany Symphony Orchestra's American Music Festival, which takes place Thursday through Saturday. It is a three-day festival, and it is filled with wonderful, wonderful performances. And again, you can go to the albanysymphony.com website and find out all the information that you need to know about the entire festival. Alan Chartok is here, and our guest for this segment is David Alan Miller, the maestro music director of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, a position that he has held since 1992. And it's a delight to talk to you. So we've established Thursday night is the reading session, then Friday, Dogs of Desire.
Dogs of Desire.
Now, this is always a big deal.
Because people wonder, what is the dog?
I wonder about that, because I once had a girlfriend who said that of me. So I just sort of wonder what the Dogs
what
of Desire
is. What that is exactly.
Are.
Well, the Dogs of Desire.
That you were a Dog of Desire?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Some people think we should change the name to French to be like Chant du Désir, that it's somehow more elegant that way.
Absolutely.
Just know as you tell us your answer. Uh-huh. I'm more interested in what his story is.
Yes.
But go ahead. That's a go ahead.
Well, when I was a young conductor in Los Angeles, I was the assistant conductor of the LA Philharmonic, I was watching all of this cool stuff going on the west side of LA, you know, in the entertainment industry in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I was watching all this cool musical stuff.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in LA. Actually.
Oh, so you grew up in LA.
And Paul Simon had just Paul Simon had just put out the Graceland album.
Yeah.
Madonna was a big deal. And so I thought, there's got to be something that orchestra musicians could do that's cool and that's relevant and that's of our own time. And why don't I start my own little garage classical band of the future? And so I conceived this idea. And of course, since I was just the assistant there, I wasn't able to put it into practice. But as soon as I came to Albany, I said to then board chair Peter Cremani, I want to have a new music group that's really cool, that does kind of, that somehow celebrates American popular culture. And I'd seen the movie Spinal Tap, and I wanted to be kind of a parody band at one point. And, you know, John Williams meets Madonna at the Kronos Quartet, something like that. And so we just started it, because Albany is the land of endless
incubation,
endless innovation and daring.
Okay.
Any dream can become true in the Capital Region, as you both know. So we started this group, and it became this wonderful 18-member sort of garage band of the future, and all of our principal players play in it. We have these two beautiful singers, two women who sing in kind of a more pop, new music-y style. We have a drummer instead of a percussionist, and we have a keyboardist who plays synthesizers, and we only play new works written by basically young Americans that somehow celebrate some aspect of pop culture. And it's this really freewheeling, often very funny and lively, really cool new art thing. In fact, I would say that if there were one target audience for the Dog's Desire, it would be the WAMC listenership, because those are the people who really get it.
Well, you're partners for all of these years. We play the Albany Symphony, obviously.
We love that.
Yes.
We do.
When you think of, and we're going to have two of the dogs on, and you're going to hopefully stay with us.
Oof.
And then we're also going to have one of your composers on, Robert Patterson.
Right.
Now, but this was the fact that threw me and I'm stealing this from the introduction for the next piece, so when you hear it again, you know, sound odd again.
Right.
But you've commissioned 100 new works.
At least. More.
I mean
probably
that's
closer to 200.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I mean that.
Well, we only do new pieces.
They don't do that.
Well, the thing that happens usually at new music concerts is that it's like a little ensemble of musicians, and one piece has four musicians, and one piece has 12 musicians, and there are like 42 people in the audience, and most of them have scraggly hair, which is fine to have scraggly hair, but it's the same 42 people, who, like if you go to New York City, who go to all the new music concerts.
Mix and match.
I wanted to have like a real band, like a real group. So all the pieces have to be written for this 18-member ensemble. They all feature basically all of us, and it's really like our own band. It's a super band because it's big for like relative to a rock band. And I wanted to have its own really clear identity, and I think it really does. And so fun. So people who, sorry, that was my
that's all right.
Okay.
They're attached to our face. It's
I
all
guess
right.
So when people come, they just are quite charmed by how whimsical and fantastical all these fabulous new pieces are.
So when you, I'm sorry, Joe, one question real fast, and then you commission all of these.
We commission all
of them. You have to pay money?
We do pay money.
Yes. A lot or little?
Well, we tend to
like
exploit.
Like how much?
We tend to exploit composers frequently. It depends. There's sort of a range of different.
What's the most you've ever played?
$5,000 for The Dog's Desire, for a piece for The Dog's Desire. We have these collaborative pieces. We pay composer $5,000, and we pay the filmmaker or the collaborating artist $5,000. So that's the most we pay.
Wow. And where does that come from?
Well, that comes from a generous grant from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. Uh-huh. But when we don't have the Mellon Foundation backing us up, we pay a bit less.
$5.
$0.35.
What
and a
you
cup
can
of
get.
Coffee.
But,
buy you a cup of coffee.
But what I have found is that, and we could talk about that because I want to get to some of the other stuff
too.
But, we'll talk about that, the
later.
Dog stuff.
Perfect.
In a minute when we do it, because I do want to get to the other segment, which is the big concert on Saturday night.
Right.
So this is really your grand finale.
This is so exciting, this concert.
I mean,
this is, you know, you asked earlier about why we do new music or American music. The truth is that we love composers. Now, all orchestras love composers. It's just that most orchestras love composers dead. They want them dead.
Sure.
And we love dead composers.
You don't
too.
Have to pay them, and you can libel them.
And you can just play their pieces over and over again. Right. We love dead composers, but we love composers. So we even more love to have the idea of having a composer with us who can help us shape the performance, who can give us feedback, who can explain to us why he or she wrote the piece. And so what you'll find if you come to the festival at all, particularly, well, any of the concerts or any of the events, there are composers all over the building. I mean, all the composers, the stack of 35 scores, just about all these composers are going to be with us. So it's very exciting to have all these composers around and have being the handmaidens to creating, recreating.
Do the mothers get to come?
The mothers do come. In fact, the mothers come, the fathers come, the little babies come and scream during the concert. It's a real problem.
Well,
that's okay.
Now, we've got about a minute.
A minute!
But I just want to go through here real quick, because you have...
Let me use my minute to tell you about Chris Rouse. Let me tell you about Chris Rouse.
Because this is seeing.
Piano. We're going to talk to Ryan Weiss later.
Yes.
Seeing is this piano concerto by Chris Rouse that he wrote for the New York Philharmonic and Emmanuel Axe. Emmanuel Axe was supposed to be with us, but had a pinched nerve and wasn't able to prepare the piece, so he had to withdraw, and so we asked his former student, Ryan Weiss, to do it. This is an incredible piece. This is probably one of the finest pieces I've seen in the last 20 years, the two or three finest pieces. It's a monumental 30-minute concerto about insanity, about madness, about the madness of Robert Schumann, and there are all these quotes from the Robert Schumann piano concerto, because of course he died in an insane asylum, and also madness seen through the eyes of Skip Spence, the guitarist from the group Moby Grape, and in fact Seeing, the title of this piano concerto, is the name of a famous Skip Spence song. So it's a fascinating, beautiful, poignant piece about madness.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Dogs of Desire. We will have two of the dogs. We'll have a composer, and you will stay with us.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, excellent.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Excellent. Coming up, it's on our live broadcast from MPAC. You're listening to the Roundtable live from MPAC in Troy for the Albany Symphony American Music Festival. We'll continue after this short break.